my career could end right now, and I think I would look back on it and feel very fulfilled. Every person that I'm training, I'm like, maybe one day they're going to hire my daughter. Or maybe one day what they're teaching their team, one of those people is going to hire my son.
Wesley Riggs is this really phenomenal woman on a mission to advocate for accessibility. We worked alongside each other for a global accessibility hackathon at the end of 2025, and I very quickly became a deep fan of her sense of purpose and urgency. I'm Rosanne Stoneman, and this is The Good Balance, Pathways to Purpose. In this conversation, Wesley shares her early urges of even having a career at all, and how she navigated family, diagnoses, and career setbacks, and kickstarted a new direction when doors closed in on her. Wesley founded her first business, Divergent Talent, and channeled her love for family into a career as an accessibility leader. She's a certified rehabilitation provider for the state of Utah, and increasingly a speaker and an advocate on a global stage.
I was thinking a lot of this in preparation for this call, and I was getting actually a little emotional because sometimes you're on the journey for so long that you don't realize, like, hey, I'm actually at a point that for a very long time, this is what I wanted. Like, I wanted my work to be something of impact, and it felt like repeatedly for years and years and years, I just couldn't break through.
Lucky for her and for us, Wesley did break through. And I love how she describes the North Star that drives her every day in this way.
So right now, I always think of it as like 100% of my life is this work. And it's because I'm a single mom to three kids who have different disabilities. My daughter is a hearing aid user and is autistic. My middle son has ADHD. And since he was born, he's had a lot of gastro issues. And he's had to have tons of surgeries in his life and still requires a high level of care. And then my youngest son is more profoundly autistic and requires a high level of support. And so when I'm not working, I'm with my kids. And my day job is leading accessibility at Equinix, which is a global digital infrastructure company. And accessibility wasn't even on the radar for them previously. And now it's like a regular motion to our business, which is also really exciting. But I think the biggest overarching is just that I never had a path for me. I grew up in a very religious family, and I was basically taught that women don't go to school and get an education, and women don't go have a career. And if you do, that's actually like a very selfish thing. And so when I would think of my future, I pictured being a wife and a mother, and there was nothing else that I considered.
Once Wesley found a way to college, it's easy to then imagine smooth sailing, clean path forward. But I know this firsthand as well. When you're the first in your family to chart a course, there's a lot you have to figure out along the way, a lot of uncertainties and unknowns. Here's how Wesley describes it.
And so even just that very beginning, I had no idea what I was doing. The blockers were, I don't know what FAFSA is. I don't know how to sign up for a class. I don't know how to get my own apartment. And so through that, and then, you know, starting a career, all of it felt like I was just figuring it out as I went. So I think schooling was a big one for me. And then breaking into corporate, I actually did that after I already had kids. And so that was my next biggest obstacle of just coordinating childcare. I was able to do that, but then my daughter was diagnosed with autism and my son needed a surgery. And I remember at the time I was working at Adobe and I asked if I could for 6 weeks just work remotely to help my son recover from his surgery, and I lost my job. And in that moment, I actually gave up on my career. I decided this is my answer. I need to just take care of my kids. And then I swung the opposite direction where that part of me again was like, no, why can't I have both? You know, why can't I have, you know, my family and also be able to pursue these things that I'm interested in. So that was another pivotal moment for me.
So take me back to that moment maybe at Adobe, and you're like, hey, I need a bit more time, or this accommodation, and they say, sorry, no. I mean, that is a terrifying time. You have your children. What do you do in that moment? You're applying for jobs. I'm assuming anything. At that point, it's survival. There's no dreams or loftiness in it. How did you go about it?
Yeah, so initially, I tried to just kind of share how I was viewing it. Mm-hmm. Of there's this huge social responsibility that we all have. And once people find out about it, we're going to make it better. And that just repeatedly did not work. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a sit down with a mentor. Her name's Margot Joff. And she started the first neurodiversity ERG in big tech at Verizon. Mm-hmm. And now she's a renowned global speaker who focuses on ADHD. But she told me, you have to make it something that they care about. Like, as much as it doesn't feel good, you still always have to share, you know, the social responsibility side of it, but you also have to share the business impact. Mm-hmm. And she started telling me more about that side of compliance and more about how people with disabilities, when they're hired, they have higher productivity and retention rates and just different global laws around hiring this talent. And that, I feel like, was a big breakthrough for me in up-leveling my business acumen and also finding out this thing that I want to accomplish, I can do it. I just have to be in the perspective of my stakeholders and not the perspective of myself. And that's when I feel like the work really started being more consumed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And is this you posting on LinkedIn or putting together business proposals? You have this idea, you're looking for work. How are you stitching this quilt together?
Yeah, so actually the very first consulting engagement I had, there's a company here in Utah called Equality Utah, mm-hmm. and they basically teach businesses how to be more inclusive to LGBTQ+ professionals because mm-hmm. Utah historically has been, you know, a less accepting state for talent in that community. And I, in my research, learned that there's a lot of overlap between neurodivergent people and people in the LGBTQ+ community. So I approached that organization and was like, you know, what you're trying to do, I want to do too. And there's a lot of overlap. Will you let me put together this training on neurodiversity and the common co-occurrences between these two communities? And they said yes. And I have to tell you, I had this idea for a while and I was too embarrassed and nervous to even send it to them because mm-hmm. I was like, what credibility do I have? So guess what? I spent $20 and made a website. And that was it. But it was enough for them, you know, to say, yeah, sure, give it your best shot. I agreed, you know, that they didn't have to pay me if they didn't like the product, and they liked the product. And now it's being delivered across Utah to businesses. And so that was really, I guess, taking that first leap of in the moment not feeling qualified, but showing up and believing I was qualified enough. And getting the yes really kind of motivated me to start going to more business.
But you also did have your degree in psychology, mm-hmm. did have lived experience.
I think it's a lot of imposter syndrome, you know, like I mentioned, never seeing yourself in a career. You kind of, even to this day, sometimes I'll be in a room or at a conference where I'm speaking and I'm like, who's going to find me out? Mm-hmm. And so stepping into that, no, I do know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I do have the experience. I have the education. I think it's a big reminder we all need to give ourselves a lot.
I've experienced firsthand just the energy and the drive and the incredible way in which you show up to work. There's just no hold, and you show up that way for the project, but also for the people around you. What do you credit some of that to? Because again, you're balancing so many things. You have a very demanding corporate career, and then you're still volunteering, doing all this great work with your own company, being a mother to three children. Where does this Energizer Bunny get its power from?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you. I feel the exact same way about you. I feel like this work specifically, if I didn't have a personal passion for it, I would have quit a long time ago. I always call it soul work because those moments where, you know, I'm working with a client that they've never had a job before and they get their first job and they text me a year later and say, I just bought my first apartment. Like that feeling of not only, you know, seeing somebody succeed, but seeing them step into their confidence is just incredible. But it's really my kids. When I previously was working, I actually was in recruiting and HR. And it was when my kids were getting diagnosed that I started to learn, you know, 80% of people with disabilities are unemployed globally. And I started to just look at my kids' future and not like what I was seeing. And so that energy for me is every person that I'm training, I'm like, maybe one day they're going to hire my daughter. Or maybe one day what they're teaching their team, one of those people is going to hire my son. And all of the accessibility fixes that we make. To one person, it might be, oh, we just fixed that one bug. But I'm like, we just removed that barrier from somebody like my daughter or somebody like the hundreds of people I've met from this community that are just so impactful. So I think once you get started, it's almost a little addictive and you want to break down as many barriers as you can. And when you see them, it's hard to look away.
So you're in a great space right now. Do you kind of feel like you've arrived? Where would you like to focus the next chapter of your journey?
It's funny because I'm doing the most impactful work of my career in the most turbulent geopolitical environment for the type of work that I do. And so I've arrived in a sense, but it's harder than ever also in the same lane. So I think there's a lot more work to be done. My focus in the future is right now, just due to where things are at, there's a high level of support we're having to just give to people with disabilities. Like, how can you get a job? How can you impress this employer? And I would love to see a shift where the onus is more on the employer. Like, you need to have accommodations for all candidates. You need to have accessible websites. If you're going to open a restaurant, it has to have a ramp. It has to have an accessible toilet. And to work more with like legislation and then also companies just to ensure that they're feeling more of the onus than people with disabilities have always
so
needed
kind of
to.
Shifting where you're advocating and helping people individually to scaling it so it's more systemic.
Yeah, which we've made a lot of progress, and I honestly feel like even just in the last couple of years, we've backslided decades. So there's a lot of work to do, but I think the biggest piece is awareness. I mean, even the term neurodiversity spiked 6,000% in 2021. People didn't even know what it was.
You mentioned sort of being, and I fully agree with you, in this very difficult geopolitical state. Is it changing your approach in terms of what you're doing to almost insulate yourself a little bit? I mean, right now, again, great space, great company.
Saving. But honestly, this is something that I have had a lot of friends and family ask me about. And more last year, I was very, very worried about. But if I had to get another job, I know, like, skill set wise, I would do whatever I needed to. I mean, when I lost my job at Meta and I started my business, I was applying at Dutch Bros. I was applying at Starbucks. I've always been willing to hustle, and I would be willing to hustle just so that I could keep doing this work. That's how important it is to me. I will always do this work. I have some really good contracts directly with the government, like with the state of Utah. And so I think it's important, too, that people recognize that in the news, there's a lot of stuff right now. And even things that are said, in practice, that's not what's happening. The government still is helping support people with disabilities, and companies are still legally required to accommodate employees. And I think some people are just throwing it all out and saying it's done for. But if you actually look at some of our legislation that's still in place, these things are still being enforced. And so I'm feeling more confident this year that the work will progress. I think it's just been stalled a bit from the trajectory we were on, really, 2020 to 2025.
And if you were to take your experience and speak to someone out there who maybe their passion isn't, it's not this passion. They're like, I'm here, I'm doing work every day, but it's not lighting me up fully. What are some of the things you think they could do based on your experience?
I think the biggest thing I would say is to get out of your own mind. The thought of starting a business, again, as somebody whose family had never even gone to college, who women never even worked, really, like, this especially was a big, that is so foreign to me to think of starting a business. And even little things like, let me create a logo. I went on Fiverr and I paid $10 for somebody to make me a logo. And I just remember thinking, wow, that was so easy. And then my website that I made, they have website builders for you that you can make a website in 10 minutes. And so, especially with how digital the world is today, I think that a lot of the barriers that are in our mind, if you sat down for like even 5 minutes, gave it 5 minutes a day, you would be shocked at how much progress you could make on pursuing like a dream side hustle or even a new business. So I would say take it in chunk sizes to not overwhelm yourself, but I think you'll quickly recognize that it's easier than you think. And then the other piece is just that I didn't expect how soul draining this type of work can be. When you are talking to somebody back to back, you know, different people every day who have had some really hard experiences. I mean, people that somebody walked into an interview and they see they're in a wheelchair and they say, oh, we would never hire somebody in a wheelchair here. And businesses, you know, saying to you, this doesn't matter to us. It can be soul draining. And that's something right at the beginning I didn't recognize. And so I think it's really important to just ensure you're taking care of yourself and pouring your own cup. I know that sounds so cheesy, but you can't be effective if you are completely just burnt out. And with this type of work, you can burn out really quick. So upfront, creating those boundaries, I think, is really important.
I've seen a lot of very successful people have almost fortified themselves with a team of people around them, and those could be friends or mentors or therapists or sort of a grounding group, a council. What does that look like for you?
It looks like family. Mm-hmm. I actually, on my side of the family, there's 8 kids who are autistic. So we're a part of this Spark for Autism study, which we probably won't get the genetic results for like another 10 years. Mm-hmm. But that is really affirming, especially as a parent, when I don't, I mean, that's the biggest thing I often need advice on, yeah, is like, how do I support my children while I'm also managing all of this? It looks like a lot of mentors. And that's another thing is LinkedIn. I found people on LinkedIn who are doing exactly what I wanted to do. And I just reached out to them. And I was shocked. Almost every single one of them responded to me. And they were willing to have a call and give me their advice. So find that support system. But I think holistically, like you said, of people to have fun with, people to get business advice from, people to get personal advice from, and not do it alone. Yeah.
I love that. So what are the mini steps you're taking at the moment? You mentioned, hey, longer term, I'd love for this space to be more legislative, etc. Are you taking some small motions in that direction already?
I'm not actually yet. I've been able to move from a more individual scale, I guess, at like my corporate job, mm-hmm, moving it more systemically. And that's kind of my next big, like, how do I scale this more in the communities that I care about. And so Utah is kind of my first. Last year, we did an Autism Acceptance Month event for adults in the state of Utah. And it just had an incredible turnout. And it was such a soul-warming event. And this year, you know, I have thoughts of doing similar things like that. But really, I'm at the whiteboarding stage, which is the most exciting.
And may
stage.
I also just say that on a lot of accounts, you're already doing so much. You know, you're having an incredible impact through the work you do with the company you work for, through the communities you have. So I am absolutely amazed and inspired that you're already going, oh, and I want to do this as well. But just know that you don't have to.
Yeah, no, that's true. It just, I'm sure
you know that you will. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. The hackathon that we did together, I actually remember at the end of that event, I said to my mom, my career could end right now. And I think I would look back on it and feel very fulfilled. And so that feels like an exciting place to be, where I don't feel like I have to do anything else to have made it. I just am so excited for the things that I can do.
I think I want to wrap it with this. I mean, just what an amazing journey and story. And I think we're all going to be watching and supporting as you go ahead. And I'm hoping that many people will just feel inspired by the way, A, you've taken adversity along your way and turned that into opportunity for yourself and for your family. And you just continue to be so effervescent. And so, yes, Wesley, all the best with your endeavors going forward. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, friends, thank you for listening to this episode of The Good Balance, Pathways to Purpose. If you enjoyed the music, it's from a track called The Marin Headlands by our friend Tommy, who produces music as Used Fiction. Don't you just love that name? Find him, go see a show. He's a community builder and diamond here in the San Francisco music creators community. Next episode, I talk to another gem of the San Francisco music community, JJ Schultz, who he took this road trip from the automotive lands of Detroit to San Francisco. He's helped build out tools like Spotify, which was acquired by Sirius. He has a passion for creating a musical archive of live performance, which turned into the nonprofit Live Hive. He has an amazing story, and he treats us to a performance at the end. JJ offers some beautiful insights around feeding your spark. If you're in the Bay Area, come say hi to us at Bazaar Cafe in the Richmond District, where we serve coffee and biscuits, and we incubate original music. We're a host to art and science and tech. And if you're far away and you want your support, you can buy me a coffee on buymeacoffee.com. How fun. See you next episode. Thank you.